The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
You're going to put your focus back on me?
That's about it.
Okay, so your focus is on me.
Focus is on you.
Okay, good. I like that. I like to hear that.
Is your focus on me?
You complete me.
And this podcast.
You complete me.
Yo, 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 what's up? It's Monday morning. Week 12 is in the books, and our focus is on the NFL Football League, which I don't think sounds right. Where it's just on the NFL. Yeah. You don't need to say Football League after you say the NFL, right? I mean, that's already implied.
National Football League, Football League.
Yeah, right. It doesn't make sense, right? So where our focus is. We're going to say it twice. That's how focused we are.
National Football League.
Right.
You can't make that play in the National Football League.
Nah.
Although I feel like that's gone out of style a little bit lately.
Yeah.
I don't hear that quite as much.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Maybe not.
No. But NFL Football League?
Right.
That's new.
It is a new one. It is. It's a dumb one is what it is. What's up, everybody? It's Chris Sims. We got a good show to hit on. Hope everybody had a Thanksgiving. Ahmed Farid's here. Chris
had
Sims here.
Thanksgiving. Like, just had it. Not even a good one. You just hope people had one.
I'm all flustered here right now. All right. I don't know what is going through my brain, but I hope you did have a Thanksgiving. Ahmed did have a Thanksgiving and enjoyed the Lions game. We had a little fun there, texting back and forth.
But that was a fun
great
game.
That was a great game. It was a great day of football altogether. It was a good weekend altogether. I don't know if I'm refreshed or if I need another break from the long weekend.
You seem all messed up a little bit.
I know, right? What the hell happened to me here? It's like we started the show and I was like, wait, okay, hold on. I got to get my thoughts together. How am I going to talk about the open here?
We got to remember that, though, because I'm going to wish that around Christmas time, too. Hope you have a Christmas.
Hope you have a Christmas.
Hope you have a New Year.
Thank you.
Hope you have a Valentine's.
Have a life.
Doesn't need to be good. Yeah, hope you have a life out there. No, it was fun watching the Lions on Thanksgiving because for the first time in a long time, I was actually kind of nervous watching the game.
Yeah.
You know, it was like it kind of meant something because if they win that game, you're a game below 500, you're kind of in the mix there.
Right.
Yeah. I was nervous. It felt good to feel nervous again.
It was a good game. It was. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, you're right. I mean, you won that game and all of a sudden, hey, a few things fall your way. You guys could have been sitting there right on the edge of the playoffs, maybe in the playoffs. That was really, pretty amazing. I think we saw the same story there, just to hit on that game real quick. Again, just too Josh Allen-centric. You see the Bills' offense at the end of the game. It does seem to run out tricks, and it's just him either scrambling or jamming a tight slant into, Stephon Diggs or some crazy throw. The throw he made at the end of the game to get the game-winning field goal was insane. I'm sorry that you fell victim to that, but that's like only him and a few other guys make that throw. Cowboys-Giants game was damn good. I think that kind of ended the way we thought. Cowboys are in a different class than New York Giants.
Yeah.
And then we're still on Thursday night, and it's Minnesota-New England. Just to hit on that, too, is where I just go, man, Minnesota, they won. I don't know if I feel that much better about them. I don't know if they really outplayed New England. New England made some mistakes, but either way, it was a good day, and that's where I'll end it. I drank a lot, I smoked a lot, and I ate a lot.
Oh,
I did.
Wow.
I was in a coma for the Vikings-Patriots. I could not get off the couch.
Well, you were watching football with your family.
I was with the family.
You were with your dad.
Yeah.
Was he like Johnny Host? Thanksgiving?
No, not really. No. He just kind of sits there and we serve him and he eats dinner. And
so you go over to his
place. No, want a dessert. And then,
he doesn't have to travel. You go over to his place and then you all serve him.
Pretty much.
He's the king.
Exactly right. And then, between my mom and my wife, they make sure he's always happy and, they're kind of running the kitchen and the goodies and everything else. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Thanksgiving. It's just a total football, which I guess Christmas will be a total football holiday.
It will be. Unfortunately, because we'll be working on Christmas.
You're going to be working?
I think so. I think they're going to make us do a pregame show with nobody watching.
Pete, you're working too?
It's the same schedule as Thanksgiving. Nobody's going to watch a pregame show, but we're doing a pregame show.
I'm going to put in for it because I don't want to have to get roped into this either.
good.
I got something going on that day.
All right, where do you want to start?
We got something going on today.
Woo.
And it is called...
Football.
Talking every
National
game.
Football League football
Talking
league.
Every game. And we don't have as many because, you know, you just went through the three that were on
Thanksgiving. I didn't even mean to do that. I just figured I'd hit it.
A little bit of that's a little appetizer to the main feast. So we're going to go through every game. That's our pledge to the homies out there. We'll start with the biggest games, the biggest stories. And I don't know that we've ever done this before. I think this is the first time in podcast history. We're going to start with Damn Okay.
Whoa.
Yes.
Damn. I'm okay. Damn. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Motherfucking okay.
Yeah, okay.
The legal gambolizing.
Oh, baby. I am Chris Sims. Okay. Damn. Okay.
Well, that's going to be a problem.
Damn.
I don't think Kristen can bleep out during a song.
Okay.
We're going to lose part
was
of the song
mic,
now.
Was the mic open? I didn't even know if it really was.
Oh, it was open. Oh. Everyone heard that.
Damn, that was good. That was a nice little, like, ad-lib into there.
So the reason...
It made our buddy coming up the stairs laugh. He liked it.
Yeah. He's, like, back after a holiday. He's like, that made my day
a little bit better.
He's
like, man, motherfucker at 11:20. Wow.
Yeah, okay. I'm already getting it. Wow. Two
at
now.
The office.
So our damn okay, we're going to start with the game that we had on Sunday night because it was awesome. We're going to quickly get into also our next game is going to be the Jets game, which I think you're going to have to recuse yourself from. I don't know that you can talk about that team.
I like
or that situation.
So you're so worried about that conversation.
I'm already
that
thinking about it.
You had to go two games ahead just to warn everybody that we're going there.
You're going to sit out that one. We're going to bring Morgan in. Morgan's going to sit here. We're going to go over the Jets game when we get to that.
Okay.
That's second, though, because we start with our game on Sunday Night Football. We've had a good run of games here on Sunday night. Some close games.
Yep.
This one was awesome because there was some storylines going in. This was Eagles and Packers that, you know, Aaron Rodgers got the broken thumb. He's all banged up. And this is, if they're out of the playoffs, could this be the last time we see Aaron Rodgers on a Sunday night in a Green Bay uniform?
Yeah.
That's not crazy to think at this point.
It's not.
So we'll get to all that stuff, but let's give props to the Eagles who are back. It was a close game. I think at the end of the game, people were kind of saying, I was like, oh, they flexed their muscle and it was a blowout. Wasn't a blowout.
No, definitely wasn't a blowout.
They had some misfires on defense.
Right. Had some mistakes. You take away, you know, you look, and then I know Green Bay made some mistakes too. Rodgers had the interception, certainly. I mean, we're not accustomed to seeing that. But yeah, I think when you take in the account of what did we have? The Jalen Hurts, right? The 4th-and-1 quarterback sneak that they did not get, weird exchange.
Yep.
You know, A.J. Brown fumbling as they were driving another time, and then the ball got returned to give the Packers a short field. So had some things fall their way, but I think that's what we thought they needed to happen if they wanted to keep the game close. I did not think, like, sitting there, like, oh, if this game gets played, you know, clean on both sides of the ball, we're going to have an even football game. No, I always kind of thought, man, if it's an even, you know, clean type of game, the Eagles are going to win by, you know, 2-3 touchdowns. But Green Bay did hang in there and, you know, took advantage of some of those opportunities. They're just not, you know, again, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but it's you know this, I know this. They're just not in the class of the Philadelphia Eagles. But I was worried early if they were going to have any fight. The way the Philadelphia went down the field, I went, uh-oh, Green Bay might have gave up last week. It might have been it. They might have, like, packed their bags and gone, okay, we'll just be here and finish the season, right? I worried about that. Obviously,
totally.
You did too. But they did bounce back and made it very fun to watch there for a while.
Well, they bounced back too, and it was some vintage Aaron Rodgers too,
Rodgers
that 11-yard
yeah.
pass to
right.
Randall Cobb. You're like, wow,
yeah.
This is
There's
looking
Rodgers,
like, there
right.
he is again.
Right.
So some big plays, but it was the Eagles. Our damn okay goes to Jalen Hurts, a career-high 157 rushing yards. 103 of that was in the first quarter. So that was the quarter where you're like,
80 of it was on the first
him.
Drive.
Yeah.
I mean,
and there was no one there. It was like he was faster than everyone.
Right.
They were blocking it well.
Yeah.
But it was just seemed like the Packers had no answer for it.
Well, it agreed there. And I was literally, you know me, how I talk in the screening room of the game. I literally, like, after the second run, I looked up at everybody and go, did they not understand who the fuck they were playing today? Like, I mean, what? I mean, he was running. It was three of the most easy runs you'll ever see. It was almost like, wait, what's going on here? Is anybody in the screen? But that's, again, you know, I think, hey, Jalen's phenomenal football player and clearly has stated here that he is, you know, one of the better quarterbacks in football. You're not going to hear me say he's like top five quarterback in football. That ain't going to happen, all right? But either way, okay, maybe he's on going in that direction. And all the issues you have to worry about with that football team, it's hard to cover all your bases. And that was one last night where it looked like Green Bay kind of went like, we're going to kind of stop everything except we're not going to have anybody there to spy him or really worry about him containing him in scrambles. And, of course, that became a big issue. And then, of course, they even broke out some quarterback runs.
Yeah.
And it's just – it's pick your poison with Philadelphia a little bit, unless you're a special defense. And I really think there is only a handful of defenses in football that can really give them problems and kind of have the answers to all the problems that they can pose for a defense.
They ran for 363 yards.
The easiest 363 yards you'll ever see. That's amazing to me. You know, it really is. It's different than, like, this is not Michael Vick scrambling, where Michael Vick was playing in a drop back pass offense and making people miss, and you're like, oh my gosh, wow. Sometimes with this, it's just like, whoa, he faked the run here and he ran around the edge and nobody was there for 40 yards. Holy cow. Or we pull the right guard and give it to Miles Sanders and nobody touches him for 20 yards. That's where I'm amazed by it. The first half was Jalen Hurts' show and all the plays he made. And then the second half, they were just like, we're going to fuck you up and run up the middle. Raw. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. It's really impressive.
I think we have some dots on Jalen Hurts' 42-yard run. It was the most on a scramble this season.
Yeah.
And no defender got within 4 yards of Hurts after he crossed the line of scrimmage until he got to the 10-yard line. So to your point,
right,
there was just no one there.
I don't, you know, understand the process a little bit. There did not seem like there was an emphasis on, hey, let's not just go crazy in the pass rush. And then, like I said earlier, just not an emphasis on, hey, let's keep a guy there.
Well,
right?
Wasn't it supposed to be Quay Walker?
It could have been. You know, it's a play I got to watch back again. I do think Quay Walker, if we play it again, I think he's covering Gainwell 14. So they're in a sort of a man-to-man coverage, right?
Yeah.
So, and because they have two on 81 there, that's where you probably could have finagled a way to get a quarterback. When you play man-to-man in this type of defense that you see here, you should be able, right, to have a guy and play quarterback spy. Well, I'm going to watch this one more time because I'm pretty sure it was a five-man rush too. And you know me, that's why I'm not a huge fan of the five-man rush always. Yeah, I'm correct. It was a five-man rush to where, yes, that's a guy that you could have had there waiting for him. There was a lack of a plan there altogether, but it's hard to have a plan for Philadelphia. And as we've talked, I think it's really, hey, we saw the Colts and Washington, but those are teams that I look at to go special defenses. There's only a few in the NFC left that I think can really mess with this offense. And there's only a few in the AFC. So that's where it'll get interesting. But the Eagles, the offense, everything they do, it's amazing. And really, I think the thing maybe to look at if we want to beat the Eagles or look at little cracks in the armor and all that, it is the defense. The defense, you know, it's good, but I don't sit here right now and think, oh, wow, it's like the most dominant force in football. The statistics are really good. It's hard to argue. They've played a favorable schedule, as we've talked about, with offenses and stuff, but I don't get the sense that it's a dominant defense. I don't feel that way when they're on the field.
And Gardner Johnson went out.
Oh, I know. Did not look good.
Didn't look good.
I wonder what that is there.
It looked like a rib injury. Rib. He was stunned right
away. I always
think
of spleen whenever I see somebody get hit like that. You know, he kind of got like a hip right in that area. Eagles make plays. That's the other thing they do. Even though their defense might give up yards, they're very opportunistic. We know that. They're one of the league leaders in interceptions and forced fumbles and all of those things as well. That of course maybe covers some issues as far as the yards they allow at times.
So you mentioned it already with Jalen Hurts, and it's like you do the top 40. You're famous for that.
Yeah.
He'll never probably be in the top 10 of like all-around quarterbacks because there are some limitations.
There
are some limitations.
Right.
Maybe he won't be top 5 or whatever.
Well,
what the Eagles do is my point.
Yes.
And it's like that's why I think the NFL is so cool right now especially is that there are a number of ways to win.
Yes.
And Nick Sirianni and what the Eagles are doing with what they're doing, Jalen Hurts is probably the number one quarterback that the Eagles could have.
He's a great fit for that, yes. And they've orchestrated around him. You know, that's where I give Sirianni and Shane Steichen a lot of, you know, this is not in their history to run this type of offense. That's not what they do. These are a group of guys who were out there with the Chargers and Phillip Rivers and were throwing for 4,800 yards and let's unleash it and do all that. And then got to the Colts with Andrew Luck and were like, let's unleash it. This is awesome. I got all these cool pass plays. They're really creative in that standpoint. But then they got to Philadelphia. It was Carson Wentz. Oh, wait. Okay, wait. Jalen Hurts. Oh, we don't really like this guy. We want to trade. We don't know if he can really do it. Okay, let's start to put some plays around him that make sense for him. And now you're seeing what he can bring to the table. And, you know, again, he gives them a toughness to their football team and an attitude, too. That's what you can't really quantify with stats, with Jalen Hurts. Whether it's his calm demeanor, you know, just his mental fortitude, all of that, there is real valuable intangibles. I like that. There is with him, though. It was a good win for them. But I do worry about the Eagles' defense a little bit.
He's just so laid back. Is Jalen Hurts, fourth quarterback in NFL history with 150 or more passing yards and 150 or more rushing yards in a single game. Michael Vick did it. Colin Kaepernick did it.
It's pretty
Lamar
funny.
Lamar Jackson did it.
Right.
Now Jalen Hurts did
it. It's so funny to think about it, too. Like I said, it's the ease in which it was done. With Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers, we had never seen anything like it. And I guess now, just to see quarterbacks run for 100 yards, we see it so often, it doesn't really like pop as much. So
yeah, to lead their team in rushing is
not that big of a deal. Right? Yeah. Right. I guess 150 is a different stratosphere, really. You might have quarterback that runs for 100, 110, 120, but 150 is a different stratosphere. And like I said, the bind they put you in with having to play man-to-man and do that with A.J. Brown, his ability to throw the ball, you know, he's great at, as I've always said, go routes, back shoulders, right? Like the touchdown we saw right before the half, I believe, to Quez Watkins. Is that the one I'm thinking about? I think it was on the right sideline. You know, just has a great feel of, oh, wait, the defender's in front of him. I won't lead him. I'll kind of leave it behind him. Oh, wait, he's got the defender beat by a little bit. I'll throw it out there and let him go get it. That's where Hurts has real value as a thrower to me. But I will say, you know, there's still throws with him and things where I go, if they got to play the 49ers, you know, if they got to play the Cowboys again, and they slow down some of those other things, and now, hey, you got to jam a ball into a cover two window and do I sit here and go, oh, don't worry, he's going to pass that test with flying colors this year? No. And I know I'm not alone in that thought.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people don't want to say it. People are scared to talk about Jalen Hurts, but just one thing that I certainly look at to evaluate as we go here.
Yeah, probably not every game they're going to run for 363 yards, which is the most in the franchise history since 1948. And we all know how good that team was in 1948.
Yeah, I mean, how could you forget the 48 Eagles? How could you forget it?
Yeah, the Brotherly Love Bruisers, I think they were called back in the day. They're just the Bruisers. They'd run over everyone. They won the championship that year, Pete says.
Wow.
He's a historian.
Wow. He is a historian. It's amazing, and I've never seen a team rush for over 350 yards and make it look so easy in my life.
Aaron Rodgers, it's looked very hard for them, so we want to talk about him before we move
on to
our next game here.
Right.
So Aaron Rodgers, Coach Magnet, has tweeted into you and says, thoughts on Jordan Love's performance. I know it's a small sample size, but it was promising, seemed to give the team a bit of energy. So it looks like, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, we don't know for sure.
Yeah.
He looked in some pain.
Right.
And I would guess he's going to at least miss a week.
No doubt.
Or two.
No doubt.
And they got some tough games.
Yeah.
And if they don't win both those games, they're out of the playoff mix. And so this could be the Jordan Love show from here on out for the rest of the year.
I would not be shocked. You know, I don't know if you heard me on the Peacock postgame show, but I certainly kind of said those same things, Ahmed. I was a little bit like, there's a chance this could be it forever. This could be it for the season. And I don't know. Who knows where Aaron Rodgers? I think he's a wild card right now. And I don't think he's like Brady. He's not the kind of guy that's going to be like the 21st best quarterback in football and still want to play. Or like even – I think even out of the top 10. I think if he got out of the top 10 and he was like, whoa, I'm kind of in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
He's got like too much pride in his physical gifts to keep playing, right? So I do not think he's a guy that's just going to hang on just to hang on. You know, but
I don't see him even going to another team.
I don't know
if
I do either.
To picture him
I don't know.
That.
You know, last year, of course, the opportunity was there, and it's he couldn't pull the trigger there. Now maybe he gets to a point here where he just goes, okay, it's over in Green Bay, and they need to start a new era now, and maybe I do need a little refresh for a year or two. Mm. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if like they got to February, they had a sit down conversation, they were like, you know what? Let's try to work something out and move different ways here. Now, his contract's going to be an issue for any trade. But back to the point of, you know, with Rodgers, you know, did some good things last night. We know that. You can still see the ball comes out of his hand a little funny at times. And I do think that's an issue. But, you know, even just the, you know, the interception down the middle, misreading the coverage a little bit, where Blankenship got it. Yeah, those are things we have not seen him do. But I would be scared, you know, to what you're saying, the oblique. I don't know. Have you ever had an oblique injury?
No.
Yeah, oh, it takes a while. It's you know, you see baseball hitters get it a lot, right? Because of the torque. It's definitely a quarterback injury because, again, it's just that torque, the twisting all the time.
Yeah.
And
he seemed to indicate it was more ribs than oblique, but maybe it's a combination
of both. Well, yeah. What happens, too, is that oblique is like kind of connected to the bottom part of the rib. So when I had it the first time, that's why I kind of like when he started talking about, like, I wanted to make sure it was a cracked rib. The first time it happened to me, I thought the same thing. I was like, I don't know. I was, like, all uncomfortable. I had thrown a pass, and I was like, I don't know if I cracked a rib or what. Like, it hurts when I breathe, and, like, you start to feel that. And that would scare me if he's at, like, that little point of where the muscle connects with the bottom part of the ribs. That could take a long time, and they're done. It's over. So if he decides, hey, I'm going to sit out the next 2 weeks and reevaluate and see where it goes from there, and I'm done for the year, I would not be shocked.
But Jordan Love –
look good.
He looked pretty good, and he almost looked like Aaron Rodgers right away. Like, one of the first passes he threw was a little flared out to the flat, and it was like the same little, like, floppy elbow.
Oh, he's got the same body mannerisms.
It's almost like you've watched him now for, what, 3 years?
Yeah, right.
He's like, I will become him.
You start to imitate him. You start to go, oh, wait, his mechanics are kind of good when he makes this throw. Let me kind of do what he does.
I got McAfee coming up this week now. It's like he's probably preparing for that.
Yeah, right. I got to do that in this place? Wow, it's a busy week. But he did look good. He did. And, you know, again, of course, you know, the little play action touchdown pass, put it on the money, let the guy run. You're seeing the talents of Christian Watson. He's real.
Yep.
He really is. But I would not be surprised if we saw Jordan Love for the remainder of the year.
I'm more interested in that. I'd be more interested in watching the Green Bay Packers play with Jordan Love the rest of the year.
Yeah,
right?
Would you?
I mean, let's see what they have. Looked pretty good from the small sample we saw. Let's see what they have the rest of the way.
If it goes well and then he plays good and, like, it looks good. That would be interesting, too.
Gives us something to talk about.
Maybe Green Bay would be willing to, do you want to get traded? Do you want to go somewhere else? Yeah. Maybe that happens. But we'll see. But either way, Green Bay put up a good fight, not in the same class as the Eagles, and the Eagles are 10-1.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
It always gives us something to talk about when the backup quarterback plays maybe better than the starting quarterback, which is what happened with the Jets and Bears.
Right.
Not for the Bears.
Look at you grinning over here.
So we're going to ask you to stand up and leave for probably 10 to 15 minutes. Morgan's going to come in.
Why would you want that? You know I'm going to give honest, like, assessment here.
So here we go. Mike White. Okay goes to Mike White, by the way.
Sure.
We're giving it to Mike White.
Damn, okay.
It was amazing.
He played great.
Most first half pass yards, 235 by a Jets quarterback since Chad Pennington in 2006. People were saying that during the game. They're like, man, this is as good as Chad Pennington in 2006. first Jets quarterback since Ken O'Brien with multiple games of 300 or more passing yards and 3 touchdowns. People were saying that too. Man, this guy's like Ken O'Brien out there.
Don't laugh at Ken O'Brien. He was a hell of a player.
He was good, right, back in the day.
So was Chad Pennington. How dare you?
All right, they were good.
Damn Lions fans giggling at the Jets over here.
So he was good, and I'm sure I didn't dare go in there. You've been a staunch supporter of Zach Wilson.
Sure.
It's been tough defenses that they've played, which is true. It's an offense that hasn't really clicked, and there's not a whole lot of talent around it, which is very true. But Mike White went in there against a Bears defense and looked really good.
Yeah.
And made all the throws and made the plays. Maybe it wasn't the greatest defense out there, but he made the plays out there, and Jets fans are loving it right now. Your honest and fair assessment of what you saw from Mike White on Sunday.
Well, he played really well. There's no, like, there's nothing you can say negatively. He did a great job. You know, the offense did have flow. He does have a natural feel for the game. And do I look at that and go, yeah, is that something that he has over Zach Wilson? Certainly. You know, Zach Wilson, I think, is a little too into, you know, how the throw looks and stuff like that maybe at times. And I think Robert Saleh referenced that. But, you know, White, was in control of the offense. I thought for the rainy day, controlled the football really well. and did a lot of good things. So, like, all that, again, I have nothing negative to say. My negativity about this situation is the situation itself and how the Jets handled it. That would be the thing that I worry about. And I don't agree with the decision to bench Zach Wilson. Not at all. And I would sit here and probably tell you that I think there's a good chance that, you know, we just talk about Aaron Rodgers. Maybe not. I wouldn't be shocked if Zach Wilson said, see you later, to the Jets, or it just doesn't work out. I would not be shocked. If I'm Zach Wilson, I would be thinking at the end of the year going, maybe I'll just go somewhere else, or you guys get rid of me. It's all good. I mean, I think that's fair. And here's my 2 cents behind this. Again, all right, so this is – I don't even know how I want to really orchestrate this, but I think this is where I'm going to go. Do I think Zach Wilson could have played that well yesterday? No, I don't. I agree with that. I still think Zach Wilson's top-end potential is greater than Mike White's. I still think that was a game where if Zach Wilson played, they would have won 28-10 instead of 31-10. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Maybe his stats, like, wouldn't have been 300-plus yards and all of that. Probably would have had a few more eye-popping passes where, you know, whoa, that was – right? So I understand that. But to me, here's my big point of the whole thing. You've gone 5-2 with Zach Wilson, who had to play the 7 craziest fucking defenses in football. And he battled through it, and you went 5-2. And I know it wasn't all pretty. I understand that. He's still a young quarterback. You obviously believed in him to draft him at number 2. He didn't do training camp, as we talked about. He missed the first few games of the year. You should have been 0-3 without him. We know the Browns fucked it up and gave you a nice little win. Okay? So now you go 5-2 with him. And, yeah, he's learned the game, and he hasn't been perfect. This is the game you let him play to gain more confidence. The Bears' defense stinks as of late. They're stink. They've given up on the year. So, and not only do they stink, they were missing their 3 best players yesterday. I mean, so that's where I go, this is a game where you stick with your franchise quarterback and let him – now, hey, whoa, wait, look at the throws and plays, and we got the offense back on track.
It would have been a get-right game, most likely, for Zach Wilson.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, why wouldn't it have been? I mean, again, this is where people go, well, most likely, or might have been. You mean the guy that beat the Bills and the Packers and all the, like, now all of a sudden, well, most likely he would have beat the Bears. Like, that's where I just, like, I get annoyed with that a little bit. Yeah. And I don't agree with it for the future of the Jets organization. And I hear people say, well, maybe they made this decision for now, right? They had to do what was best for now. They would have won this fucking game if we put a lot of people at quarterback yesterday. They're in a different class than the Bears right now. And especially without Justin Fields. So that's where I don't like the decision. But I don't want that to take away from Mike White and what he did. And that's great. But I am interested and where this goes with the Jets and Zach Wilson, because I think they've messed this situation up now. And they let the fan base, in my opinion, and the New York media kind of control them here in the situation.
So here's a question from Derby Obachter, kind of along those lines. It goes, damn okay, Jets offense. The contrast between the ineffectiveness of the Wilson-led offense and the way the offense hummed with White at quarterback was obvious. Now, given the performance and the reported preference for him in the locker room, do you think we will see a switch back at quarterback
anytime soon? No. What are they going to do? Mike White, now you're going to play them? Now he's going to play the crappy Minnesota Viking defense this week who can't defend the pass and put up more good stats? And then we're all going to look at it and go, well, yeah, we're going to bring back Zach Wilson? Like, please, we get bullshit. Get the fuck out of here with that. There's no way that's going to happen right now. There's no way. Now, here's what I want to say. Like, hey, he did great. He did. He ran the offense. He did all the – offense looks easy when you can run the ball at any time you want and you're protected and, hey, we got the ball back. They're off the field again. We're staying in rhythm. I mean, everything played in favor of Mike White in this game. Zach Wilson hasn't had the opportunities and got to play the teams to benefit from that. So that's where I just don't like it. But I don't want to take away from Mike White. I'm not trying to be a hater on Mike White at all.
He played well.
He played well. And Mike White has some things about his game where I look at him and go, he could be a starter in the league in a lot of ways. You know, and
his passing chart right here, he didn't throw the ball that far down the field. His average depth of target was 5.8 yards down the field, the third lowest of any quarterback this week. But this is what I'll say, too.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. If you're a high draft pick, you get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And you get a little more run than maybe even you should. You need a little longer leash, right? And so Zach Wilson does have the benefit of that.
Yeah.
Here's Mike White, 27-year-old, spent a couple years at South Florida, 3 years at Western Kentucky, was drafted in the fifth round. He's getting some run now. And no, he didn't have to face those tough defenses that Zach Wilson had to face, but he also didn't have the opportunity to play against those and maybe impress.
Yeah.
Right? And so this is his chance, right? And not a whole lot of fifth-round picks, 27-year-old quarterbacks get that chance.
Yep.
So I think a lot of Jets fans out there are like, this is his chance. He's earned it. He deserves it. Zach Wilson hasn't blown the doors off with anything, and so let's see. Let's ride him until he messes up and looks like Zach Wilson out there. And so I think there's a part of me that's happy to see a fifth-round guy get his chance.
I hear you there. I mean, it's a guy that seems like he's done everything right, and he's a good dude. I've been around him a little bit. I mean, he's a guy that I'm sure the locker room likes, you know, and I understand that. Now, what I will say to our question here, right, that the one thing that probably concerns me more than anything is, you could see that, like, Elijah Moore and Garrett Wilson were happy to have Mike White on the field. That makes me believe that there is some sort of friction or something maybe there.
Or, like, Zach has not connected with those guys.
Maybe, right.
Which is part of the job.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know,
is.
As an NFL quarterback.
100%.
Right? Those are your weapons. You can't discard those guys and bring in guys you get along with better. It's like, it's your job, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong there? It's your job to get along with the
weapons. It definitely is.
Weapons.
Yeah, you don't have to be best buddies, but, yeah, you want to have some sort of camaraderie and connection there, for sure. And that seems off a little bit. It does. So I don't know all the answers to that. I, you know, have known and talked to a lot of people within the Jets organization over the last year. I've never heard them say the team doesn't love Zach Wilson. I mean, that's where I would just be surprised. But maybe when it comes to those two people and the fact that they didn't get the ball through that winning streak, you know, that's where they start to hold it personal maybe to the quarterback a little bit too, a young receiver. And they start to blame the quarterback, and they think it's personal, like, oh, he's not giving the ball, where, no, he's just a young guy who's playing some good defenses and probably, you know, didn't give you the ball all the times you should have, but he's learning just like you have, because I've seen you guys mess up routes that you weren't supposed to run either, right? So that's where, you know, but I'm like – I don't know where this goes, and I don't see how Mike White won't be the starter going forward. And I don't think this is an easy one to repair for Zach Wilson going forward. I don't. I understand Zach Wilson being very disappointed here, and I think the Jets have made a messy bed for themselves in this situation.
Well, their defense is going to keep them in games, right?
Yeah.
And so that's if Mike White can hold on to the ball and not make the big turnover, which Zach Wilson actually did a pretty good job of in a lot of those games that they
just
won.
Just the two losses, right?
The Jets have held 6 of their last 7 opponents to 17 points or fewer out there. So if you're the Detroit Lions, you go, hey, we'll give you, Jets, a second-round pick. All you got to do is give us Zach Wilson. I do think it's kind of interesting because there are a lot of teams that you know of.
Yeah.
That liked Zach Wilson going into the draft.
Right.
That probably still could use a quarterback in their future franchise quarterback. So if they feel like you do, like a little bit of a messy situation.
Yeah.
He wasn't as bad as it looked. Hey, they were in a tough spot because they're a playoff team now. I don't know. I mean,
I'd be interested too. It depends on how this year finishes out. It really is. But I think the Jets, and this is something to watch for. Yeah. I don't think it's, you know. As we sit here right now and how the situation was handled and all of that, I just look at it and go, I could see things getting messy between both parties after the season. I could. I wouldn't be shocked. I really wouldn't.
All right, so that was Morgan. Thank you for that. You can go sit down. Chris comes back in here. One more thing I want to say about this. That's right.
Yeah.
I knew there was one more thing. I pulled the Columbo. I pulled the Columbo this time. There are some people out there now saying that Zach Wilson hoodwinked everyone out there, draft evaluators, teams, GMs, based on one throw at his pro day.
Yeah, that's
remember
stupid.
That throw.
He
that
was already in the top two conversation before that throw in the pro day. Right. All right. So come on. People just latching on to bullshit on social media. You know, that's where you got to go. And yeah, listen, it's a great conversation. It really is. You know, like I even see here, we had a question here by @CompassTraveler. Right?
You want to do that one?
Well, yeah, just read that.
All right.
You know?
Compass Traveler says, I know Mike White was versus the Bears defense, but watching him and Geno Smith makes me think, is there real value for a young quarterback to learn a system and develop on the practice field instead of the pressure of being a starter right away?
Well, you know, there is value to that. There is. I still think there's greater value in being on the field and learning that way, as you know.
Unless
I'm always
it goes
a believer
like
that.
Unless it goes like this for Zach Wilson.
Right. You know.
Yeah.
It's You know, Geno Smith, it's been a long time. Geno Smith has gone beyond practice field. This is 10 years later, so it's not a development process for him anymore. Yeah, there is value to that. I understand that. But I think there's more valuable playing. And I think, again, that's where I argue. And I know that's where, like, Tony Dungy was on my side a little bit, too. If you're trying to build a culture and something for the future, you stick with your quarterback through those lumps right there. And you just keep fighting and going through, because you would have got the win yesterday and you would have gone, hey, I know he didn't play good against him, but look, he played pretty good yesterday against the Bears, and we're 6-2 with him as a starter, and we're going in the right direction, right? So that's where it just upsets, to me, future plans, everything, and, you know, that's where, like I said, I'll have my popcorn to be ready for after the season. I have a hard time believing that it's going to ever go back to Zach Wilson this year.
That's it. We've seen the last of him this year and maybe ever. So they got the Vikings. They got who? Do you know who they have after that? Do we have their schedule?
Yeah, I did. I just kind of interesting. Just here to we see go. Vikings, go Bills, south. Lions.
Ooh, Bills.
Right? So they're going to play three out of the four like worst pass defenses you can fucking imagine here, and Mike White's going to get to play them. Mm-hmm. Right? The Bears, the Vikings, and the Lions. Right? So that, and he's going to get to end the season against the Seahawks, another horrible defense. Right? So. You got the Jaguars, where we know that's a pretty good defense talent-wise, and maybe pause, you know, give them some issues. But, yeah, all things there speak to me of a guy that I go, oh, well, I don't – he's going to put up good stats against those teams.
And he's going to start a playoff game.
Yeah, exactly right. And then your number two pick will be ruined, and you've ruined the situation. The Jets will have nobody to blame but themselves.
Will be fascinating
to
watch.
And that's fine. I mean, that's fine. If they're comfortable with Mike White going in the future, then that's cool too. That's it's not wrong if that's where they're comfortable.
Or Aaron Rodgers. It all comes full circle. Who knows what's going to happen this offseason. But we're in the middle of this season right here.
Yep.
So big win for the Jets there, although that was expected. Big win for the Eagles, although that was expected. This next one, I think, might have been the best win of any team.
This is big time. Yeah.
The Bengals defeat the Titans, the big play Bengals, 20-16, a gutty win. We're going to give the damn okay to Mike Hilton, 7 tackles, 4, which stopped Derrick Henry for 1 yard or no gain in this one. Derrick Henry, he had that one long pass reception where he fumbled, and then Treylon Burks recovered it in the end zone. But you take a look at what he has done. Those of you watching on Peacock and YouTube, if you're listening, I'll describe it to you. Rushes per game, the first 11 weeks, 23. He had 17 this last week, and on the ground, just 38 yards against the Bengals. So they bottled him up, 2.2 yards per carry, and no touchdowns for Derrick Henry. They protected Joe Burrow on the offensive side.
Yeah.
And so an offense without Joe Mixon, without Ja'Marr Chase, scored enough and contained Derrick Henry. That's a solid win for the Bengals.
Big time win. I think you said it. To me, this was the marquee game of the day yesterday. And, yeah, Cincinnati, to me, just they answered some questions again. It's where I start to go, oh, the offensive line's turned the corner. They have. Not that they're great, but, you know, they're playing good enough to where, okay, we do have to worry about the run. And it's just not a free-for-all around Joe Burrow. He does have time, you know, to make throws and do things the right way. And then, you know, you said a gutty. That's how I kind of, like, look at it, too. It just, there was a lot of, hey, people around me, we got a 5-yard completion. People around me, I got a 6-yard completion. Okay, we're in a good spot here. Oh, wait, now there's a chance for me to strike downfield for a big play. I got one-on-one outside because I've, you know, found the little dink and dunk spots in their zone. And now, oh, man, they're sick and tired of me kind of guttying it out here and trying to get those completions. Boom, back shoulder. Boom, go route. And then, you know, what on the defensive side of the ball, the Bengals are just ultra talented at all three levels. That's where I come back. And then with the DJ Reader being healthy and Hilton being back healthy, it just changes their defense. You know, you see they're a tough matchup for the Tennessee Titans. They are. There's a reason they've beat them the last two times they played. In fact, the last three times they played. Because if I remember correctly, Joe Burrow beat him before he hurt his knee his rookie year, right?
So they are the only team to beat the Titans 3 or more times and remain undefeated against them since Mike Vrabel was hired.
See, it's not, there's their kryptonite right there. Mm-hmm. A team that can stop the run, and they don't have to go like crazy all out to stop it, right? To where it's like we saw in Green Bay. Now it's like Treylon Burks is on an island, and it's just bombs everywhere, right? You know, so they didn't have to go all out there. And Then I think the other thing that just gives them problems is, you know, Burrow and just his ability to, you know, oh, wait, it's a crazy zone. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to find a completion. Oh, it's a crazy zone here. Okay, completion. And he can kind of pick them apart that way. And then, of course, he's an assassin when he gets one-on-one coverage. But, yeah, that was a really big win. And it to me now, I put the Bengals in that team of, okay, I'm not maybe going to say they're the Bills or the Chiefs, but they're trending in that direction where I go, they're in that next class of teams right below them and starting to look like the team that went back to the Super Bowl last year.
1-6 is starting to look like that in
right?
the AFC,
right?
Where you're like, man, I would not be surprised if that team was in the Super Bowl or won the Super Bowl.
Right? I mean, 1-6, exactly right. I think you said it right. 1-6, I just go, ooh. I mean, damn, all those teams are good. I could see any of them in the Super Bowl. I really could. And Cincinnati, if they can protect like that with Burrow and just give him a chance and Jamar Chase gets healthy, the way that defense plays, yeah, I think they could have a say again and maybe upset an Allen Mahomes championship game rematch and things like that, because they got it all. They're really not a weakness in their team when their O-line plays the way they did yesterday.
Yeah, they're 5-0 are the Bengals this season when allowing 2 sacks or fewer, just allowed 1 sack yesterday against a team that they allowed 9 sacks to in the divisional round last season, a game in which the Bengals still won.
Yes.
So they can even win when not protecting Joe Burrow. But that seems to be something they've shored up.
Yeah, they've shored it up.
I feel like they're protecting him.
They've shored it up. And in that playoff game last year, too, you know, even they got physically dominated. The biggest thing that helped them was Tannehill and the 3 interceptions.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Tannehill played good football, right? So they, you know, they had no advantages here as far as turnover, short fields here. They had to earn it. And I think that's, you know, the difference between last year and this year. And we'll see. Again, the Tennessee, you know, I'm a believer in them. And I do think that, you know, we're seeing 2 weeks in a row here, Treylon Burks starting to come on. Maybe they're starting to find a guy here that can, you know, take some pressure off of the run game on a consistent basis and make them a little more balanced that way.
Yeah, they did have the mental error by Kevin Strong at the end of the game, the Tennessee defensive tackle.
Yeah, it's just shocking to see that.
Hit the long snapper on the field goal.
Yeah, I was dying to see.
He still would have needed to come back.
I know, I wanted to see,
touchdown,
you know, Tannehill and company have the ball with a chance to try to go win it or whatever. But
Kevin Strong robbed that from us.
You don't see Vrabel do that very often.
Lead Papa says, damn okay to that Burrow and Higgins combination, T. Higgins. Not a Bengals fan, but they are a joy to watch.
Yeah,
and so
are.
It was T. Higgins was the guy, which, I mean, he's overshadowed by Jamar Chase for sure, but if he wasn't there, I mean, could he legitimately be a team's number one wide receiver?
Definitely. They got 2 number ones in Cincinnati, yeah. I mean, would he be a superstar one? No, but he'd be, I mean, definite 1,100, 1,200-yard type of guy. And again, this is where I try to argue with people, like, and I don't, I'm going to go here, but like when people try to go, well, Gabe Davis of the Bills, look at Josh Allen. And I want to go, Gabe Davis is not even the same class as T. Higgins. T. Higgins is a guy, like, when it's one-on-one, you got to go, uh-oh, like, we're taking a chance here. Even when you got Xavier Howard on him against the Dolphins, whoever. And he's got tremendous size, and then he's faster than Gabe Davis, and he's a pretty good route runner, and he's, you know, pretty good after the catch. He's got it all. They're going to have to juggle some things around here to pay him and then have to pay Jamar Chase in a few years too.
Here come the Cincinnati Bengals.
Here they come.
The big play Bengals now at 7-4. Over in the NFC, here come the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes, sir.
They've been coming for a while now. Damn okay. We're going to give it to a coach. DeMeco Ryans.
I love it.
For the 49ers, the defensive coordinator, they shut out the Saints. 13-0 was the final score. It is their 6th win this season by 10 or more points, most in the NFL. And they don't have a great offense. It's a lot due to that defense. They have outscored opponents 57-0 in the second half during their 4-game win streak. So they have not given up a point in the second half in the last 4 games. They are doing it all, and they're even doing it all, Chris, a little bit shorthanded still.
Yeah,
that's the crazy thing.
Right? I mean, their 2 stud defensive tackles are not even playing. What are they going to look like? You know, I think when you talk about the 49ers, yeah, the conversation starts with the defense. It's the best in football. And
best in football.
It's the best in football. It is. It is. To me, it has everything, especially when they're going to be healthy. Because to me, they're going to have, oh, wait, you got a big offensive line and you want to run the ball? Fine, we're big. We can do that and stop that. Oh, wait, we're playing, you know, Josh Allen or a passing offense with a quarterback that can scramble. Okay, wait, we got the speed and some guys in the middle that are tall that can tip passes, do things like that. I think they got everything. I do. You know, and then just the little additions of Charvarius Ward to their defense from years past allows them just to, hey, we can dabble into man-to-man and play that. D'Amico Ryans, it's, you know, incredibly the intensity they play with, the way they attack the football and rally to the football. He's got great creative schemes, you know, and then he's really great in zone coverage. That's where D'Amico Ryans is great. And the 49ers are great at passing things off. They pose a lot of problems for you. But right now, like you kind of said it, the defense and they're not even 100% healthy. Jimmy Garoppolo is quietly playing really good football for about the fourth week in a row.
Yeah, 8 total touchdowns,
yeah.
No turnovers during this four-game winning streak.
He's been really good, and you said it too. It's a 49ers offense. This is where they're scary. I don't think they're clicking yet. Their normal run game has not become dominant yet. They're still trying to kind of find their way there. You know, they're still rotating a guard in and out of the game a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they're playing as well as they'd like up there. But either way, when you've got a defense like that and Garoppolo taking care of the ball and just making a big play here and there, they're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, McCaffrey was a little dinged up in the game, too. 11 carries, 32 yards. Elijah Mitchell ran the ball pretty hard out there at the end of the game.
Yeah.
So got him some key
but
yards.
But he got
to
hurt
melt
again,
away
I think,
the,
here. I think he hurt his knee. Right. So
what's been the key for Jimmy Garoppolo here? I mean, is it just a matter of him playing better? Is he clicking with Kyle and the offense? What do you think it is?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the first thing that just pops to my mind is I just go, like, no dumb stuff. Like, not just that would be the number one thing. He's always played pretty well, but we've always been like, this is the kind of the time of the game where he throws a ball down the middle into like a crowd of people or does something crazy here. There's been none of that. There's not like been very few plays at all where I go, oh man, there's Jimmy G doing Jimmy G things. That has not happened. And then, you know, just I think taking advantage of some of the plays that are there to be had in the middle, I mean, down the field a little bit, and he's just been on the money with balls over the middle in there. So, it's just good overall play by him, and I think it's the lack of negative plays that make things look maybe a little bit better than we've seen in the past.
Rocky Menichetti said Jimmy needed a guy like CMC.
Yeah.
Certainly helps.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah, and this is a 49er, I mean, a Saints defense that, yeah, it's not been its best, but I think you know by listening, you know, and us, and if you're listening to the pod, there's some attributes to them. They're creative, and you know, they do have some guys that can play some man-to-man, and they got some big dudes up front where I wasn't shocked to see them give the 49ers offense some issues.
It is the first time, actually, the Saints had the longest shutout streak of not being shut out in the NFL. It went back 332 games.
Wow.
All the way back to 2001 was the last time they were shut out.
2001.
And the team that shut them out then?
I'm going to say the Bucs.
The 49ers.
Was it really?
It's happened again.
Wow.
Time is a flat circle. Everything repeats. Over two decades ago, so it's happened again to the Saints. Not a whole lot to talk about with New Orleans now. They're 4-8. They had maybe, I mean, the division's so bad, it's just like, just win a couple of these games, but 49ers a better team clearly, and I don't know. I guess they're still in it somehow.
The Saints? I guess so.
Just because so bad?
Because the Bucks, right? The Bucks aren't certainly running away with it, but I think we're getting close to saying it's over. I don't know. You're right. With the way the Bucks are playing and the way that looked yesterday, you know, again, I keep waiting for the Bucks to turn the corner, and I really thought that game in Germany was going to be the moment. But no, the Bucks are with the Bucks. That's it. So we got to stop like going, oh well, Brady's there and the magical turnaround at some point. At some point, we just got to go, no, that's the fucking reality of the team. It's 12 weeks in, and they're just an average football team.
Yeah, that division's bad.
It is bad.
There's a division that's a whole lot better right now. Still in the NFC. We're going east. The NFC East. If the playoffs were to start today, we'd be scrambling because we're not ready for that, right? We'd have to get people places and set up our broadcast team. But every team in the NFC East would be in the playoffs. They would make the playoffs. That includes the Washington Commanders, our final damn okay to give out.
Damn.
We're going to give it to Daron Payne.
So wow. There's a few guys
tip.
We could have.
We
yeah.
could. But
yeah.
he had the big tip at the end of the game.
Yes, he did.
Got his big mitt on that Marcus Mariota pass that ended up in the arms of Kendall Fuller for the game-sealing interception. Earlier, it was Payne who stopped Patterson on a fourth and short.
Fourth and short, right.
Near midfield. Yep. And so that defense that still doesn't have Chase Young could see him back next game. Didn't need him in this one. They looked pretty good against a Falcons offense that has done some things throughout the year. 19-13, the final score. Payne had six tackles, two tackles for a loss. They win ugly. The Washington Commanders. Are you feeling...
They're similar to Atlanta, except they just have a little more sizzle.
Yes.
Like, they got a few guys that can make a play. They got a quarterback, to me, that can make a few more plays in the pass game, to your point, because I know you're a fan of his.
When the game is gross and close,
right,
you want Taylor Heinicke. Well, and there is no more grosser game, rain and fog.
I have more faith in him to make two or three plays at the end of a football game than I do on Marcus Mariota. And to me, that was a little bit of the difference of the football game in general. I was surprised Atlanta ran the ball on Washington like they did. That was surprising. But I think when you boil it down, yeah, I just look at it and I go, I think Heinicke and that passing offense are capable of, you know, just making a few game-changing plays that way. And then even the same, I think you could say, with the defense. The defense just has a little more sizzle as well. It was a really good game. The Falcons, you know, the appropriate game plan as always. But Washington, yeah, with some of the studs they got on the D-line and then – you know, again, another game where I just go, look at the run game and what they're doing there with Brian Robinson.
Yep.
The Commanders they're a playoff football team. And this is not like, oh, wow, the floor is going to fall out from underneath them here down the stretch. Like, I'm not saying they're going to run the table, but they're not a game here where we're going to go, oh, well, the Commanders lost by 30. See, that's really the team they are. Like, they're real. And Heinicke, when he takes care of the football and plays the way he's kind of been as of late. I mean, really, other than the Vikings' bad interception there, he's been damn good. Washington's a team I would not want to see in the playoffs.
Their next two games are going to be against the Giants.
Yeah.
They have the Giants this
week. Bye week,
and then the Giants again.
Right, right. And, you know, again, you know my thoughts on the Giants. They're more talented than the Giants across the board. And I think the way they're playing right now and the way the Giants are playing right now, yeah, I would favor Washington in that matchup for sure.
7-5 right now. You mentioned Brian Robinson.
Yeah.
He had 18 rushes in the game for 105 yards.
That's amazing.
He had a receiving touchdown. He had his first career 100-yard rushing game. And after the game, he was celebrating in the locker room. I don't know if you saw this. A giant
hat. Oh, I saw it.
So apparently this is not a Photoshop. If you're watching on Peacock or YouTube, you can see Brian Robinson said his friend has a big hat company. They make these big hats. You know, you've seen the turnover chain, right, and all those things, and Kirk Cousins wearing the chains. I like the big hat.
Damn.
I hope that catches on.
Well, I kind of made fun of it pretty hard last night.
On the show?
And I feel bad now that it's his friend.
You did it on Football Night in America?
I did it on Peacock, too.
Oh, in front of 15 million people?
I did it both times. Post-game show and pre-game show.
What if you get a note that the company has gone bankrupt because of that now?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things I could say back. But, I will not be sporting that. I'm not a hat guy in general.
So you wouldn't be an oversized hat guy.
And I'm definitely not wearing that hat right there. No, that's just not happening. I feel like that was like somewhat of someone tried to make this a style a few years back. Mm. Interesting. It's interesting. Wow.
So here was I did the show with Matthew Berry yesterday, the fantasy football show.
I'd like to
show.
See that. Yeah, right.
And
right.
So he's a noted Commander fan.
Yep.
Matthew Berry. And so here, if you're watching, here we are. This is photoshopped. I don't know if you could tell or not, but I would have wondered if we did have them. But look at what we're doing.
Are you doing shots?
It's a whole thing about drinking. That whole thing is about
you
drinking.
You weren't really doing shots.
I mean,
there's no way.
On Peacock. Look at that. We have a video.
What a liar.
I'm sipping
what
it,
a
kind
liar.
Of.
Look at what is he? He's drinking water. He didn't even make a face that's like, oh, wow, I got to get that down.
Because I'm hardcore like
There's
that.
There's no way that Amin Farid drank at 11 on a Sunday.
Yeah.
There's no way. I think that's. There's got to be something there. You guys got to put on the bottom there, like, you know, we're fugazis and we're not really drinking here.
That was water. I will
no
come clean.
Shit.
That was
no.
water. But in my cup there, my Applebee's cup.
Yeah, liquor in there?
Energy
the beer?
Drink. Energy
oh,
drink.
Energy. Oh, thank
That's
you.
As hard as I'll go. You know,
we know
me.
You had that.
That's as hard as I'll go.
I mean, the way you drank the water, be a better actor next time.
Just like throw it down.
Yeah, you threw it down like you were like just a steady alcoholic all the time. Like, oh, this is just my morning protein shake.
I should react. Okay, next time I do the show, I'll react each time I do it. That's
right.
A good
you gotta,
point.
You know, squinch the face a little bit. And like, oh, man, that didn't go down easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Way to go, Washington, though.
Way
I
to
do
go,
want
Washington.
To say that. Way to go, Ron Rivera. I've never seen a guy where shit can be more turbulent and you're like, oh, my gosh, it's all about to go bad.
Yep.
And then he writes the ship and we go 6 weeks later. We're like, they're good. like, watch out for Washington.
Yeah.
I feel like this is like the fourth or fifth time he's done this through his coaching career.
They're a fun, ugly team to watch.
They are a fun, ugly team to watch.
And if you're going to play them in the playoffs, you better blow them out, because if that game's close,
it's
late,
Heineke Magic time.
It's Heineke Magic
time. Did you like
time.
The all-black unis they wore yesterday?
Oh, yeah,
I'm kind of a fan.
I like those.
It.
Kind of a military feel to them, which is kind of cool.
They're the Commanders.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So those are our damn okays, and now we move into the analytics portion of our show.
My favorite part.
The bold two-point conversions. It is my favorite part. These are some good close. I love these. What a great day. I'm beginning to feel like this was one of the better Sundays that we've had so far, because these were some great
finishes. I love how you're kind of realizing this as we're in the middle of the podcast.
Well, it's just like I was like, all right, here we are in the middle part of our show, usually the bad games. But like, no, these are all good too, and good things to talk about. Jaguars defeated the Ravens 28-17 per Elias.
Yes.
Jacksonville's record when trailing by 7 or more points in the final minute of regulation was 0-175.
Wow.
Before yesterday. So they needed a guy like Trevor Lawrence to have his signature moment, which you brought up on the Peacock show.
Thank you.
You said you were waiting.
Yep.
You said you were waiting for it. You think yesterday was it?
I think it was it, right? We've talked about it a few times where I've just gone, I'm waiting for that, like, hey, I'm the number one pick, and I'm fucking going to bring us back and make some unbelievable throws to win the game, and this is why you drafted me number one. He's done everything else. I'm not trying to – I'm just going, this is the one thing we were waiting to see. Just some a little more wow, a little more whoa. And, yes, that was the moment to me yesterday. Again, because it wasn't like, oh, he threw a slant, the guy broke a tackle for 70. He made, like, big-time throws and big moments. And look at some of the throws on the last drive of the game. Guys are covered. I mean, the 4th-and-8 corner route on the right sideline. Marcus Peters doesn't really – he plays it pretty good. It's one of those where you go, like, I'm in a good position. I'm in a good position. Oh, the ball's – well, the ball got by me. Holy crap. He got it here. Like, it was like those kind of throws. So that's where I love it. To me, you know, that's – that's a culture win right there. These are the games we keep seeing Jacksonville lose, and now this is where a young team can start going, okay, wait, we know how to win. The Ravens came into town. They didn't bully us, and we pulled it out. I've always had a lot of respect for Doug Peterson, but I'm happy to see that for Trevor Lawrence. And again, the Jaguars team that's, yeah, I think more talented than the record, as I clearly have stated all year long, and that was a big victory for them.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence led 3 scoring drives in the 4th quarter.
Big.
6 touchdowns, no interceptions the last 3 games.
Yep.
James Lennox, 19, a listener of the show, obviously, because he goes, damn okay. Trevor Lawrence, you talked about his lack of wow throws, but this felt like the game where everything clicked, and he looked like a number one pick.
That's
if he keeps playing like this, what do you think his ceiling is?
Oh, well, it's a great question by James Lennox, 19. I mean, you're right. And he's got the type of ceiling of a top 3-4 quarterback. I mean, that's his ceiling. I mean, this is a guy that has Justin Herbert type ability. I don't know if he can quite throw it as great. I think actually potentially he has that in him. He's just not the machine Herbert is, right? But he's the type of guy that can be a top 5 quarterback for 10 years in a row. There's no question about that in my mind. So that was really huge. And you know, to do it, ATN got hurt, right? You know, it didn't seem like, and maybe I'm wrong.
I mean,
I'm just
doing it
going off
hasty.
My notes. The run game wasn't working yesterday.
No.
You know, so that's where, you know, it was really big time. And, of course, it was a big game for the Baltimore Ravens. And, you know, the other thing I want to say is, like, you know, the thing is I'm watching this yesterday on play, too, is just go, you know, he went through some lumps and some bad interceptions. And they probably should have won a few games that they didn't win because he messed them up in the end of the 4th quarter. But they stick with him. Jets fans. That's why, to me, that's why you stick with Zach Wilson, because maybe 3 weeks down the road you start to have moments like this. I don't mean to go back there, but I can, again, that's, you know, we've come on here a few weeks. How many times in the 4th quarter, since it's Jacksonville, it's not in the media, where we go, man, Trevor missed his throw, or he missed some touchdowns, or he threw an interception. And, you know, WFAN radio and people like that aren't calling and going crazy in Jacksonville like they are up here. And it's just not the same type of pressure on the situation.
Yep.
But, yeah, Jacksonville, the talent of their defense. Again, this was one of these games where I picked the Ravens to win, but I was, you know, this is a good matchup for Jacksonville. And the thing that worried me yesterday, and we saw this when the Ravens struggled early in the year, when they don't have a traditional running game, you know, that's to me one of the things to look at with the Ravens. And when you, and you know me, I'm not a guy that will look at the box score. But if you're watching a game that's going along and you start to realize, wait, the running backs aren't running the ball well, that to me is always where I go, uh-oh, things are going to fizzle as the game goes because the passing game's not that creative and intricate. And we know the weapons aren't great there to where I go, it's going to be hard for them to carry or put the game away just through passing the football or Lamar scrambling. And that's what the game became a little bit yesterday. They're a different team when they can't run the ball the traditional way, at least a little bit.
Yeah.
And yesterday they really struggled there.
So they're tied atop the division still. They're 7-4. The Bengals are 7-4. So the two top teams in the AFC North. You know what's worse than giving up big leads?
What?
As a lifelong Lions fan?
Yeah.
Never having big leads. I think the big narrative with the Ravens right now is that, wow, what's wrong? It has been bad, right? They've been double-digit leads. It was 9 yesterday. But it is something to say you've had those big leads in these games.
You're right. It is. It is something to say. You know, again, it goes back to our point of we see them play periods of football where we go, whoa, they look really good and they're controlling the football game. So it shows you their top-end potential. But, yeah, there's some things they got to, you know, refine. And, you know, yeah, it's 4 losses. And, again, I think we get into it. The Giants game, they made dumb mistakes at the end.
Yep.
Lamar with the stupid 3rd and short, the ball snapped over his head, throws the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just, that was dumb. There's no other way to say it. And then he gets strip sacked the next play, right? So that's like opportunity they blew. The Buffalo Bills game, yeah, there were some opportunities there for them to put him away. And, of course, had a little bit of the going for it at the 2-yard line, right? He threw the interception. They took the touchback and gave him the shorter field. And then they went down and got the game-winning score. So, yeah, maybe a different approach and, you know, next time Lamar will learn from that. So, again, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm not alarmed by them. And as you know, I think Jacksonville's more talented than people realize.
And if anything, when they get into the playoffs and they have a 10-point lead, they're going to focus a little bit more. They've been through it a little bit at this point. Also in this game, we don't want to leave it without talking about Mike Florio's old nemesis.
Oh, no.
Jackson DeVille.
Oh, baby.
He was in the news.
He was hot yesterday.
So apparently in the past.
So hot. Want to touch his hiney.
Well, they are in Florida. And so, you know, it's hot.
Hot enough to wear that outfit. I can tell you that.
So if you haven't seen it, you should go look it up.
Jackson DeVille in a thong?
Was wearing a Speedo.
A Speedo.
A USA Speedo. You know,
whoa.
USA's in the World Cup right now.
Right.
They're still alive.
Right.
They have a chance
so
to
he's got
Iran.
The American flag on his junk.
I mean, right. the yellow suit, I didn't realize how skin tight it is. So actually Jackson DeVille is pretty well jacked. He's a fit man underneath
I guess
that costume,
so, right?
Right?
It's more than I would like to have known about Jackson DeVille, that's for sure. There's no doubt. And then the little hip thrust there, little pump action.
Aru 811 says, please take a moment to discuss the Jags mascot. So many questions. Now, I guess in the past he has worn a Speedo in the past.
Oh.
Right, Morgan? We've seen him with a Speedo in the past. He confirms that news.
Glad you guys are all over that.
So now that, like you said before, you know, it's Jacksonville, they're not really talked about. Now they're actually getting a little bit better.
Now get some headlines here. Yeah, that's what they had to do. That's what they had to do. Speedo thong for Jackson DeVille to get us on the map here.
Do you think he should adopt that as his permanent outfit?
No, please don't. Let's not scare the kids and let's.
It did
let
seem
them
a little graphic. It did seem like
it was beyond graphic. It was way too much for a football mascot.
Yeah. It's what you got to do to stand out when you're the Jaguars and no one talks about you.
Right.
Wear the Speedo. I'm okay with that. Now we're talking about you. We're talking about the Chargers as well. Another team that went for two late and came back and beat the Cardinals 25-24.
Amazing.
Fourth win this season after trailing in the fourth quarter for the Chargers. We've seen so many times they blow those leads. They don't win those games. They've won a few of them this year. Let me just start with that, too, because it was the same thing last game. I love the fact that teams and coaches are going for two
to win the game.
To win the game.
I don't mind this either. I don't mind
at the end of the game. Because I always felt like, or I do feel like now, if you're playing for overtime, you're just delaying losing. You're delaying the outcome. Go for it right now.
Well,
win or lose at this moment.
I think there's moments you choose, right? And I think in these two games, I understand it because the game was, one, hey, we're not as good as Baltimore, but we got them on the ropes right now a little bit, and we kind of got the momentum. Let's take advantage of it right now and go for it. And we're not going to the Super Bowl, so what do we got to lose? The Chargers a little bit of – they had to play the angle of, well, can we trust our defense? I mean, the fucking Cardinals ran for – James Conner ran for 100 yards on the Chargers. The Chargers, if the Cardinals are running for you on 100 yards, then you know you're not a good run-stopping defense. That's all I could say.
Yeah.
So they have to worry about, wait, you know, we didn't play that good, and maybe we were outplayed a little bit here today. And I'm afraid if we kick the ball off to them in overtime that they're going to run the ball and then Kyler's going to scramble for a big run and then throw a ball up to Hopkins and they score a touchdown and we don't get the ball back. I think that's a realistic thing you got to think of if you're the Chargers and just the way the state of their defense. You know, but I will say them, you know, not a great day, being tough, and the stats won't show this, and I know I got to go back and maybe watch this game more thoroughly, but Herbert was phenomenal down the stretch. I mean, I don't know. I looked up and, again, their offense annoys me because they can't run the ball all that well, and you know they don't throw the ball down the field enough for me. But damn, I mean, just in the fourth quarter, I just felt like every time I was looking over and watching, I'm going just going, oh, another great throw. Ooh, tight window, jammed it in there. You know, he was phenomenal. It was really about as good of a 35 completion, 274-yard type of game you're going to see.
So Superchargers, I'm assuming, watches every Chargers game. Yep. He agrees with you. He goes, damn, okay to Justin freaking Herbert carrying this absolute pathetic joke of a football team to 6-5. He goes, they'd be 0-11 with an average quarterback. He is absolutely everything to this team, and the only reason anyone in that organization outside of the owner still has a job. Superchargers, tell us what
damn,
you really think.
I like it, Superchargers. You belong on this pod more.
So he accounted for 312, did Herbert, not Superchargers, 312 of the Chargers' 339 yards.
Right.
He had a team-high 38 yards rushing, 274 passing. Austin Eckler, the recipient of a lot of those passes. So it is Eckler and it is Herbert basically carrying that offense. And this one, we do have the passing chart. Had to do it a little bit differently. We know he has that huge arm throwing down the field. This one, he spread the ball out left and right down the middle of the field. Not the deep passes, but it was effective enough against this Cardinals defense.
He's always effective this way. This is where, you know, you hear me get frustrated. He's got this great arm, and they don't push the ball down the field. And I know injuries are an issue here with them, too. But it's not in their DNA to do it. This Cardinals defense and their secondary is good. And when you're, you know, not healthy at the receiver position – and, you know, not kind of hitting on all cylinders there. Yeah, they pose some problems. But, you know, it's to my man Superchargers' point, it's the placement of the football. It's the amount of plays where you go, ooh, there's really not much there. But he kind of put it in the one spot to get a completion that was available. I think that's what, you know, is more of like the amazing thing. You know, it's different of, oh, wait, the guy threw it low and didn't throw the ball down the field, and it was a lot of underneath throws, and it was a zone coverage, and guys got to run after the catch and do all that. This was, wait, they're at the 8-yard mark, they're at the 10-yard mark, and they're covered, and there's a guy around them, and, oh, he throws it high and outside, like the only place he would have, or low and inside, and where the only guy, only his guy could get it. It's just so many throws like that, and he is the savior of their team. We know that, you know, but I'll give them credit. Two tough losses, and they were staring down the barrel of, oh, shit, we're about to lose our season right here against the Arizona Cardinals, and that's where Johnny Franchise Justin Herbert took over.
Well, and a hat tip to the defense, too, because the last four Arizona possessions went like this. Three and out, three and out, three and out, two, end of game.
Yeah, that's big time.
Without those stops, they don't win this game. They need every second.
I was like a little surprised, and not that it was an offensive showing, but I guess I was a little surprised at the way Arizona moved the ball on the Chargers at all. I thought the Chargers really kind of matched up. I did not think the Cardinals would be able to run on the Chargers, so I thought, oh,
really?
They're going to have to throw it.
Everyone runs on the Chargers.
Well, the Cardinals are just not a good run team other than – so I just didn't think that was going to be a real part of the show.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, the Chargers are good if you just let them play pass defense and do all of that. But the run game put them in some binds, and DeAndre Hopkins is still phenomenal, and Kyler Murray always finds a way to get him the football.
6-5, Chargers on the bubble, just like they were last year.
Yeah.
They're on the bubble. I'd like to see them in the playoffs.
I hear you. Well, you picked them to go to the Super Bowl, so that's why you're a selfish, biased bastard. But
win the
they're another team that, you know, The AFC is fucking insane. That's all I can say. It's insane. It really is. You look at it, like we said, the top six teams, and then, you know, seven is the Jets, and eight is the Chargers, and, you know, the Patriots. It's just wow. And if they got Joey Bosa back and they were coming to town with a healthy Mike Williams and Keenan Allen in the playoffs, right? Man, I wouldn't want to see that group. I wouldn't. You know, there's a lot of scary teams in the AFC. I feel like the whole AFC, I'm like, you don't want to see them coming to town on the wild card weekend.
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe the Cleveland Browns are still in it.
Ooh,
as I transition to our walk-off winners. Probably not. They're 4-7 right now, yep. But it's better being 4-7 than 3-8, which that's they would have been if they would have lost this game to Tom Brady and the Bucks, who now fall to 5-6. An overtime win. David Njoku. Man, I saw that David Njoku 4th-and-10 catch.
Wasn't that amazing?
And I was like, man, that might be the best catch I've ever seen. And I was like, wait, we do that every week. We're just like, oh, that's the best catch I've ever seen, Justin Jefferson. But we've seen a lot of really good one-handed catches in crucial moments, too. It's not just like, oh, wow, middle of the game, that was cool. It was like, without that, they lose this game. They came back and won, did the Browns. Give credit to Jacoby Brissett, who let's start with his soundbite, because he beat Tom Brady. He played with Tom Brady. Yeah. He knows Tom Brady. He channeled his inner Chris Sims after the game, in case you haven't heard. This is what Jacoby Brissett said after their walk-off overtime win.
Well, I mean this in no disrespect, but in the words of Tom Brady, that was fucking awesome. That was fucking awesome.
You had to be like a proud papa, even though I don't know why you'd be a papa to Jacoby Brissett.
I'm always glad to see somebody swear in front of the microphone. It always makes me proud.
Good for him. Good for this offense. Good for Nick Chubb, who they leaned on at the end of this game. Good for the Browns winning a game that we've seen them fritter away many times.
Definitely. I mean, it had a game where, you know, you just sat there and you went for so long. It was 17-10, and I kept going, the Bucks will put a drive together here and kind of put the game away. The Bucks will put a drive together in here and put the game away. The Bucks will do something here to go up by 10. And, man, the defense stood strong. That's where I guess I'm a little surprised right there. You know, we saw the Bucks kind of get the run game going against the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. I thought they'd be able to run against Cleveland. You know, they looked like they had problems with Cleveland's speed, which is something I wish I would have thought about with the matchup a little bit. Tampa has problems with these smaller, fast defenses, like the Rams. We saw them. It's an issue for whatever reason. And I just thought they would have a little more success kind of picking apart the Browns in the passing game. But, you know, it was few and far between. They couldn't really run the ball with great success. And I just never would have thought that, you know, the Browns would have slowly worn down the Bucks' run defense as the game went along. You know, Jacoby made a play here and there and did all that. But, man, the fourth quarter and everything, it just seemed like Chubb was, you know, found some running lanes and really put the Buccaneers' defense in some tough spots.
Yeah, and the Buccaneers' offense just not scoring enough points. So it's putting a lot of pressure on that defense. Seven straight games for the Bucks with 22 or fewer for the first time since 2014, 2015. And now Tom Brady has the most losses in a season for him since 2009. And they're not done. They're not done losing games this year. It just seems like everything is so difficult offensively for the Buccaneers, too.
It is. It's just...
And does
now
that,
Tristan Wirfs just got hurt, and I think it's going to be bad.
3 to 4 weeks is what we're hearing.
Is that what they're saying?
3 to 4 weeks with a leg injury.
All right. I'm saying good because I thought it might have been longer. It was the kind of injury where I thought, uh-oh, he might be done for the year. I don't know if you saw the play, Ahmed. There was a blitzer jumping up in the air, and the blocker pushed him, and he went full-fledged from like 5 feet in the air and landed on Tristan Wirfs' left leg. And I thought, like, at first I was like, oh no, this might be Joe Theismann. Like, when I saw it, I was going, this might be like broken fibula, tibia. I'm glad to hear it's only 3 to 4 weeks. They can't run the ball and control the line of scrimmage there. They had, of course, problems protecting, and Brady's just not playing very good. It's the other thing. You know, I know everybody's a little scared to say that at times. There's a few quarterbacks in football we're not allowed to say them about, and he's one of them. But
you're not allowed to say that about Tom Brady, specifically.
But it's just it's Yeah, it's just nothing special right now. He's, again, as I kind of have said on the Peacock show last night, we've hit this, and we're seeing it with Rodgers too. There has to be a certain support system. If you think you're going to win a game and Brady and going to drop back 43 times a game and make big-time plays and throw lasers all over the field right now, then you're not watching football this year. I just don't think that's going to happen very often.
They're leading their division, though. Yeah. They're 5-6, a half game ahead of Atlanta.
I don't know what to think of them anymore.
You
know,
I mean, like one of those where some people might say, oh, watch out, though, once they get to the playoffs. But it's very hard to see how
that's
they
what
would
I mean.
Be dangerous
that's what
to
I'm
anyone.
I'm sick of hearing that. People were saying that before the Rams and Seahawks win, and I was like, I don't know. That's what they kind of are, I think. And then the Rams game, I was like, oh, all right, well, I don't know. Did they outplay the Rams? I'm not really sure. I mean, they did a little. Yeah, they won. Great. Okay. Seahawks game, I went, okay, that looked kind of good. There were some things there to latch onto and go, there you can build off that. But then to lay that performance there, you're right. And, you know, there's no team on their schedule that we have to get over this. Like, oh, it's Tampa and Brady. There's no team on the schedule here where you can just guarantee they're going to win the football game. You know, the Saints can certainly beat them. The 49ers, the Bengals, the Cardinals the next few weeks. You know, the only team I look at to just go, oh, the Panthers, and the Panthers are no cupcake either. So we'll see. I'm surprised we're at this point with Tampa. I did not expect to be talking about a loss on November 28th after they just played the Browns.
And don't write off the Browns yet, because they now have the rally skunk. They have the rally skunk.
Oh, my gosh.
You saw it in the stands there. Multiple fans. Like, this was not just one fan. Like, multiple fans were taking videos of this skunk and, like, walking up to it and putting their face in it. I was like, why?
Why? Why?
Why are you doing that?
Like, run the other way. That would not be something I would go, oh, let me go see the skunk and hang out with him.
Like, what is it? Like, I don't even
I'll
know
take
how,
your word for
how
it.
How do skunks work? So if they spray, do they have they used their spray, or can they just spray whenever?
Like, I think they can spray. I think they can spray whenever.
Like, they got an unlimited spray in there.
I think it's a pretty good amount. It's certainly, I don't know if it's unlimited.
Because part of me was thinking, like, maybe these fans know he's out of spray.
And that's
why they're going up there.
I don't think they're that intelligent there. Sorry. Nor the.
So Pete says skunks can spray up to 6 times
right.
per what? In succession.
Wow.
So then they got to take a break.
They got to take a little break.
But once they take 10 to 14 days.
Well,
okay. Yeah. So you figure maybe these are smarter
maybe
fans than we
thought. Maybe sprayed out.
If you're in a stadium like that, you're probably sprayed out, right? There's 30,000. Yeah. Yeah. 6 of us are screwed. The
or
rest
maybe
of us
he's
are okay.
Just used to a crowd and he knows not to spray too much.
Yeah.
You know?
We just learned how skunks work.
That
was pretty cool.
That was.
I'm going to share that with my kids later on.
I mean, oh, man. That when they spray, oof.
Yeah, wow. You don't want. I hate
my
that.
My dog's got it every now and then.
Oh, it's the worst, right?
It takes
forever. Even if there's a skunk in your yard that sprayed something in your yard.
Yeah, you smell it for a while.
For the whole day.
Yeah, you do.
They go, well, there's one. They got 5 more left. Stay away. The Browns did not stink. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers do, pretty much at this point. The Raiders. Don't write them off yet. Now, you can probably write them off, but, man, that was a fun game against the Seahawks, who now find themselves trying to jockey for a playoff spot here. Thought maybe it was going to be a little easier for them. They're 6-5 now. Overtime win for the Raiders, and the story of this one is Josh Jacobs, of course, the first player with 300 or more scrimmage yards since Julio Jones did it in 2016.
Wow.
He got the long one in overtime, in an overtime where the Raiders missed a long kick, and it was like, all right, Seattle just needs to get into field goal range here, 20, 30 yards or something like that. Couldn't do it. Josh Jacobs with a walk-off winner, and now they got an interesting decision. I bet they wish they would have exercised that fifth-year option on Josh Jacobs now, because he'll be a free agent, and you need a running back out there, you could do worse.
They definitely, you know, probably would have the value would make sense as far as being able to have that fifth-year option. Yeah, he's having a hell of a year.
Is it him or is it more than that?
Well, I think, one, it's a team that's figured out the system. I've seen the passing game kind of expand because I'm sure Carr's more comfortable. As I've tried to explain to people, too, this team was built to play a totally different style. That's why I think we had to give Josh McDaniels a little leeway. And let's not forget, I mean, they were toe-to-toe with the Titans and had the Chiefs on the ropes and... You know, yeah, they blew some games, certainly. You know, but that's where I just go, you stay the course here with them. Because we're starting to, you know, bear the fruits of the labor here, in my opinion. And McDaniels, again, we'll see how it goes. And I understand to question him as a head coach. I understand that. I get that. But one thing I'll never question, and none of us can question, is his ability to, you know, orchestrate offensive football. That's second to none. I mean, he's one of the most special game planners in the history of the sport. And that's not only just pass game and Brady throwing the ball. I mean, it's run game and playing power football and doing that as well. And I think that's where they've gotten it down, Amin. You know, I think Carr is pretty comfortable, and, you know, they can run just about any play in the playbook now. And I think the offense has gotten used to how they want to run the football and the schemes they want to use. And I think it's a little bit of everything right now. But they've hit their stride, and they put you in binds, and they can beat you either way. I think that's the biggest thing. They have, you know, great balance of, whoa, they can tear you up in the pass game if you play too much run defense, and then you start going, let me stop Davante Adams, it's getting scary, and they can really gash you in the run game, as we saw there too.
27 first downs. That was a season high for
Holy
the Raiders.
Cow.
576 yards, 169 more than any game all of last season. So that offense, as it has been most of the year, is very, very good. What does it mean about the Seahawks, though? Because I don't think these teams are that dissimilar, right? The Seahawks defense had been playing a little bit better, had not allowed more than 23 points the previous five games.
Yeah. That was my point going in the matchup. They're not that dissimilar. This is another one of the games where, I mean, even here, I wrote, you know, I picked the Seahawks 27-24, but I wrote maybe switch.
Yeah.
It was that type of game to me. The Seahawks are good, but they're like one of these teams where you look at and go, yeah, you know, they can win and certainly can make some plays, but nothing's a guarantee. I don't think they're that dominant for me to sit here and go, win here. I think, you know, with that defense, every game's going to be a little bit of a roller coaster with the Seattle Seahawks.
They're 6-5
right
now.
Yeah.
Still did some good things offensively, although that running game didn't get going.
No.
They had to rely on Geno in the passing game.
Right. The running game is a little bit of a – people think it's a good running game, and I've tried to explain to some people. It's not as good as people think. This is a guy that – you know, and Kenneth Walker, who can rip off a 20-yard run and nobody blocks anybody, and he still gets 20 yards. And I think people have been a little misled by that to think we're going to get back into, like, Marshawn Lynch beast mode there. And they're not that good that they can just impose their physical will there. But Geno in the pass game, too. First off, Carr and Geno made a number of big-time passes in the game. This is one of the most fun games to watch yesterday. And this game was going back and forth. And between the big runs and Carr and Geno making big passes, it was a lot of fun to watch.
All right, so the Raiders get the win there. Seahawks still in the playoff mix and conversation. Got to play a little bit better defensively.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is one of the reasons I talked about it. Like, they're when they play a team that can do a little bit of both, they're in trouble. Like, you know, teams like, okay, hey, the Rams, you don't have to worry about much. They'll be okay, certainly. And, you know, even against a team like the 49ers, they might be okay because there's not tremendous, they can beat you both ways. But when they play a team, you know, and I didn't think Tampa, what I'm trying to say here as I'm blabbering is if you can run the ball a little on Seattle, it changes them because, you know, now they don't have great run stoppers or a great front seven, and they really got to put people at the line of scrimmage, and they're not that great in the back end to where you can just go, we can stop the pass off of that. I guess that's what I'm trying to say after blabbering and stuttering all over myself.
We got it.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Got it.
And now, the final three games.
Boom.
Thanks to Give Me the Headlines presented by Hyundai. So three games. These weren't the most intriguing games out there, but there are storylines in all of them. And our first game is Dolphins beating the Texans 30-15. We did not come up with a headline before this. We put you on the spot here, Chris.
I like
you go,
it.
You go put
this
me on the spot.
This is the way it used to be.
You go, I'll just think of it off the cuff.
Yeah, bull crap. There's my headline. Bull crap, because that's what the Texans looked like.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah,
I
just
like it.
They look
well
like
done.
A big bull on the field, crapping all over the place, crapping on themselves, everything. All right. I like how you guys are giving me a clap and a good job. Like, oh, look at him. He can do this. This is amazing.
Well, 30-15 did not indicate how lopsided this game was.
And no,
even
it did
when
not.
Even when it was 30-0, that didn't indicate how lopsided
right?
this
really
game was.
It really didn't. It really didn't. It was, it's, no, the Dolphins, I think, have to start being recognized as one of the best teams in football. I do. Their offense, yeah. The way it is, it's kind of an unstoppable force. And the amount of pressure they put on you, it almost changes the way you have to play entirely throughout your whole team. And then the defense, you know, again, it's the yards aren't great, but the defense puts tremendous pressure on you too. That's where they really match that way. It's an aggressive, go-for-it style of play throughout the football team with the Miami Dolphins, which is also why it lends them to, whoa, they're up 30-0. Whoa, they're up 3 touchdowns. Because, you know, their defense, they don't play bend or don't break. They're like, you know, either you break or we break. That's kind of what they do. And the offense, it just comes at you in so many different ways. And, I mean, I was laughing at one point during the game. If you were in, I was literally going like, look at this. I mean, it's this guy down the middle, nobody in the screen. This guy over here, nobody in the screen. He's running free. He's going here. I mean, they're a lot of fun to watch. Tua was great again. And, you know, I just can't say enough about Mike McDaniel and just the things he does on that side of the ball to really be creative and stress defenses out.
Well, yeah, a couple things there. Miami scored on 5 of their first 6 possessions, not all touchdowns there.
Yeah.
They outgained Houston 287 yards to 32 in the first half. Tua, during the 5-game winning streak, 11 touchdowns, no turnovers. And so, yes, it all adds up to an 8-3 record, the best start for the Dolphins since 2001. And I think, you just mentioned Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
I think he's coach of the year. Like, first year,
yep.
Which I think is an added difficulty level.
Agreed.
Right? Set the culture first year, go in there, learn everything, hit the ground running first year, take nothing away from Nick Sirianni, who I love. I think he's awesome. I love all the emotion he shows out there. But what, second year for him? They added in the offseason. We all thought they'd be pretty good. And they are.
But,
I mean, I think he's the favorite, Nick Sirianni, right now, if I'm not mistaken, by BetMGM.
Yeah, I think he is the favorite. You're right.
I
don't disagree with what you're
like
saying.
I like Mike
here.
McDaniel for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of questions. Can this guy, this type of personality, do this? You know, oh, he's creative, and we think he's creative, and then he's delivered on all of that. And then the elephant in the room was Tua. And like, wait. Can we make this work? Can we justify, you know, the top 10 pick and start making him look like that? And yes, he's done that, you know, with flying colors and given them an attitude about their football team. So, yeah, it's a team that I think we all thought could be good, mm-hmm. but I don't think we thought it was going to be this good. Yeah, I think that's the point. And it wasn't an easy situation to take over. You know, all the Brian Flores stuff and, yeah, the Tua conversation. I tend to think that's a really close race right there.
Yeah.
I do. Sirianni, I don't want to discredit him either. It's not necessarily easy when everybody expects you to be 10-1. Yeah, you guys should be 10-1, and you deliver.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about that, too. But McDaniel is right up there with him, Ahmed. You're right.
Well, I expected them to be 11-0, so they've disappointed me so far. Chiefs have not disappointed me. They did not against the Rams there. This game, we thought it would be a blowout. It was a blowout, although not as high scoring as maybe we would have thought a Patrick Mahomes offense would be. 26-10, the final score against the Rams. Your headline is?
Good teams win. Great teams cover.
Yeah,
it was, and that's what we saw.
15.5 point spread.
Cover.
was not easy. Was not pretty, but they did it.
Yeah, they did do it. It was like
with against a Rams team that, I mean, who's even playing for them?
Well, I know. It was one of those games where it was 26-10. It was 20-3 and I don't know. The Chiefs look like they got into like, fuck this. Let's try this. Mahomes got a little careless. You see the Chiefs do this every now and then. I mean, not every now and then. They do it a lot in these type of games where it's like they have a feel of like we're clearly the better football team, and they kind of don't, for lack of a better way to say it, focus for 4 quarters. and they get the lead, and they kind of just like, oh, okay, we're cool with the Chiefs. It's in the books. And if we got to put the gas pedal back down again, we'll do it, no problem. But, yeah, I mean, there was no – I didn't think the Rams ever had a chance in this football game at any point. I really didn't. It was just mistakes by the Chiefs that kind of let the Rams kind of hang around just for a little bit there in the second half.
Yeah, they had scoring drives, did the Chiefs of 90 yards, 83 yards, 71 yards. A lot of those ended in field goals, unfortunately, for that offense. Legarius Sneed on the defensive side, 7 tackles. One tackle for a loss, an interception, 2 passes defense, so he stood out. But so did some of those rookies on that defensive side, which I think is a story going forward, right? That rookie season, the second half of a rookie season.
Yeah.
Trent McDuffie had a couple pass deflections. George Karlaftis, a big sack early in the game. Sky Moore's coming on. And Pacheco continues to look like the real deal in the backfield.
Definitely. And, you know, even some of the other guys they got as rookie secondary players, they do a great job of contributing as well. It's yeah, young guys that are learning how to win. They can depend on them, that's for sure. I will say, again, there's a toughness of the Chiefs that I don't think I've seen them have through the Andy Reid era, and that's because of Pacheco. And, again, to run the ball 22 times yesterday, that was patience. I was shocked to see that. And this is still, and I don't want to take this for granted, this is a Rams defense that's still really freaking good. I mean, it's still one of the best defenses in football. And it's not easy to score touchdowns against that crew down there. You know, they're a team that, you know, they can do a lot of different things. They're creative that way. But, yeah, that was a good win for the Chiefs, certainly. One that we expect them to win. They put them away. Didn't play their best football. But that's kind of the way the Chiefs are. And, it's amazing. The Chiefs are clearly one of the best teams in football. And it's still shocking to see the Rams kind of struggling the way they are.
What I do know at this point,
yeah.
I will not be calling the big effort. The big effort to his face.
Yeah?
That was the bet. Remember, that was the bet. If the Rams made the playoffs,
right.
I would have to swear at your father.
You're safe.
Still mathematically alive, though.
Yeah, but realistically not. No, I mean, realistically
not.
No, it's not going
to
happen.
Going to have to figure out something else.
And, I mean, damn, did you see that shot Sean McVay took on the sideline
yesterday?
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
Holy crap.
By a rookie apparently running into the game who didn't even react.
Like, turn around and be like, hey, coach, sorry I knocked your head off. Holy cow, that was big-time shot.
I know. I wonder if he's, like, black and blue or
I wouldn't be shocked. That was, like, concussion protocol.
Yeah.
His head got turned around.
Like, you remember when Fabio got hit by that bird on the roller coaster?
Oh, yeah. That was a
after that,
bad
he goes,
moment.
He goes, that would have killed a lesser man. I think Sean McVay could say that. Remember that?
Did Fabio say that?
Yeah, he did. He goes, that would have killed a lesser man.
That's amazing.
That bird exploded. He goes, I don't think I broke my jaw, so I'll be fine.
Holy
that's what Sean
cow.
McVay said.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to start it off. I don't think I broke it. It's fine. It's just,
yeah, it didn't look good. It's been a bad year. He could have been making, what, $20 million calling games for Amazon. Probably should have just done that, right? Just taking shots on the sideline. One more game to talk about. Neither of these teams are going to be in the playoffs, but it was a good win for the Carolina Panthers. They beat the Broncos 23-10. Your headline is?
Burn, baby, burns.
Ooh, nice. I like it.
Burn, baby, burns.
Brian Burns has been very good.
He's really one of the best pass rushers in the game.
Couple sacks in this game. He's got a sack streak going, I believe.
Made fun of Russell Wilson at midfield.
Oh, did he?
That's why it's part of this is like he did this Russell Wilson move that Russell Wilson's done before.
Uh-huh.
I'm not really like up on this. The young kids are teaching me this. I didn't realize Russell Wilson had done this before.
Okay.
Morgan was the one that pointed it out to me yesterday. And I guess after he got the sack the one time, he kind of went to midfield and imitated this move that Russell does.
So he was mocking Russell.
He was mocking Russell.
Which you see teams do from time to time. If someone does the gritty, the other team will do the gritty.
Sure.
We've seen people do the waddle, right?
Exactly right.
All in good fun.
It is all in good fun.
You can't have good fun around Russell Wilson.
Well,
it's
good fun. It's usually like, okay, yeah, you do it to Waddle. Waddle scoring touchdowns and things are good. Like the Broncos and Russell Wilson are like going through like the toughest part of their lives right now.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson's struggling. I thought, and oh, there it is. He did this right here. Right.
Yeah, where he's got his arms out, turning around. He's like, yep, look at me.
Yeah.
It's what Russ does before
the game.
With his headphones on as he's meditating.
I guess so.
Why would you make fun of someone meditating?
He's getting power from God to start the game.
So then there was more that happened on the field here too, right? Because it was another bad game for Russell, 19-35.
Well, I thought about like making a Russell thing, like Darnold. dangerous, but Darnold, like, trying to find a way there. I don't know how I would have done that.
Yeah, good thing we didn't.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, good thing we didn't even talk about it. But his own teammates for Russell are starting to yell at him and snip at him, which we've seen in the past. The Seahawks would get into it from time to time. But Mike Purcell, I think we have the video, yelling at Russell Wilson as he's coming off the field, which happens, right? Russ kind of definitely backed down. He didn't, like, Russ was not into
that fight. That was super aggressive. And I don't know, like, I don't know the full context here, I guess. Like, what's Purcell? Did they just come off the field in what situation here? I guess that's where I don't really understand that. And to me, you got to be careful here, too. But I don't think this is like he's yelling at Russell. He's saying, like, let's go. Like, fucking come on. Like, I don't think he's like, come on, you suck.
Yeah.
You guys suck out there. Do something. I don't think he's doing that. I mean, that's stuff that doesn't go on in a locker room more times than not. And especially when you're Mike Purcell and you're talking to a guy who's, you know, been around the league and been pretty awesome. I'd have a hard time thinking he was being disrespectful there.
Yeah.
But it's not a good look, and especially when you're playing like Russ and Nathaniel Hackett and the way the Broncos look all together, I get everybody reading into it.
So Pete says that this was after Purcell got called for an unnecessary roughness on a field goal. And so maybe field goal attempt, so maybe Russ said something to him. Like, come on, man, can't have that. And Purcell was like, we can't have what you've done the whole season.
I don't know.
That's an interesting context.
So, wait, I fucked up, and now I'm going to come off the field and yell at a guy? What? Like, hey, don't fuck up like I just did.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing there?
I'll tell you this.
I got to watch the context of that, too. Because if that's the way that went down right there, then I might have problems with that, actually.
Well, this is what I do know for sure. Right. 100%. Don't need context.
Yeah.
Being a Denver Bronco fan might be the worst of any NFL fan base right now.
Yeah, like, they had high expectations,
times.
Right?
It's bad times.
Yeah, it is bad times. It is. And you know, I do want to give credit here to the Carolina Panthers a little here. Yeah, it is bad times. And, you know, Russell, not good. We know that. I mean, how many freaking three and outs and ugly drives did they have? Then the Broncos defense bleeding a little bit. You know, I thought they would be dominant enough here to keep them in it. But, man, we're seeing Carolina and Dante Foreman, like, run the ball consistently on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then Darnold, even though it wasn't great, damn, it didn't look bad. It looked good, and he made some game-changing throws and plays to our man DJ Moore.
Yeah, the long 50-yarder.
Right. The touchdown in the back of the end zone.
Those looked good.
Yeah, it was good. So, defense, run the ball, and do that, it was a good showing for Carolina.
When I looked at it, he's only 25 years old. I mean, that's the crazy thing about it.
I know.
It's like, we think, like, I would have thought Sam Darnold's like 34, 35, getting up there with Aaron Rodgers.
No.
He's 25, but he's just been around, played for a bunch of coaches. So this was his fourth coach of the year, or I'm sorry,
of
fourth
his career
win with another coach. Wait, let me start that again.
Do it again. Come on. Can you be professional here? Give me the headlines presented by Hyundai.
We're over an hour 30 here. This is what happens. Sam Darnold gets a win with the fourth coach of his career.
Yeah.
Can you name the four coaches?
That says something.
So Steve Wilkes for sure.
Yeah. Gase, who drafted
him. Gase.
Gase. Todd Bowles drafted him.
Todd Bowles. And then Matt Rhule.
Oh, duh. Matt Rhule,
who was the coach here before. So, I mean, he's been in the league 5 years.
Says a lot. Sam Darnold's story is not over. Sam Darnold still has starting quarterback, like, skills and potential. So, and the situation, as we know, it's means a lot. You know, again, this is where the great quarterbacks, the situation doesn't matter as much. Justin Herbert, Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, they're going to make just about every offense look good. But the rest of the world, they need a little help. Just like we talked about with Tua. Do you not think Sam Darnold could be down in Miami hitting wide open Waddle and Tyreek Hill? I'm not trying to say it might be better than Tua or anything like that, but he's never been a part of anything like that. So that's where we'll see where it goes, and good to see him back out there. I would say for sure he earned himself the ability to start the next few games for the Panthers, at least the next one or two, and we'll see where it goes. But damn, it's ugly. It's ugly for the Denver Broncos, and it's really ugly for Russell Wilson. Never seen a quarterback of his caliber struggle to this extent for this long of a period of time.
And that was Give Me the Headlines presented by Hyundai. All right, let's get out of here before I screw up anything else, because we're getting to that point. Bet MGM Parlay Preview. One more game to talk about. Monday Night Football, Steelers at Colts. Thursday Chris, or I guess this was Wednesday Chris.
It was Wednesday Chris.
Wednesday Chris said that the Colts would win by 4, 20-16. Colts are favored by 2.5, so you have them covering.
I do.
And you have the under hitting because the over-under is 39.5. Was Wednesday Chris high on stuffing that he was going to eat the next day?
Nope. That was a logical. That was Tuesday night, Chris, that picked the game. So we were clear-headed and thinking the right way. Defense is showdown, as we know for sure. We do. And the Colts defense, I have a hard time thinking that the Steelers are going to be able to move the ball consistently on them. I do. I think a lot of this Colts defense, across the board. And, we know Pittsburgh, it's going to be short passes, a few scrambles from Kenny Pickett. And can they run the ball a little bit? And I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball. I think they probably will be efficient passing in the short game. It's hard to get big plays against this Colts defense. They're pretty good at that as well. So I just think it'll be that type of game. Ugly. I don't expect anything magical on the other side. I think there's going to be some issues there. As far as the Steelers, even though it's not a great defense, they're playing a team where, okay, we don't have to, like, the passing offense isn't scary. We can kind of go a little bit all in on stopping the run game and all of that. You know, this is usually the kind of game where, yeah, they're going to, it'll be Matt Ryan getting the ball out of his hand, dinking and dunking. And we'll see Jonathan Taylor. I think he is a go tonight, right? Last I heard, I thought we were good to go.
Yep.
To where I just think he'll have a solid night, not a big night. Matt Ryan will be efficient, and they kind of win an ugly defensive struggle type of football game.
ESPN's loving that. They're just playing that on repeat for everyone out there. It's going to be a struggle. Offenses are going to be bad. No one's going to be able to run the ball. Tune in tonight. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman. Are you ready for some football?
The Colts, like, Colts aren't out of this. Colts win tonight. They're 5-6-1. And who knows? Chargers in front of them, New England in front of them, have some tough games down the stretch.
No one outside of Jeff Saturday wants the Colts in the playoffs, I think.
No, I don't either. You're right. It would be
like even Matt Ryan's like, I'm old. It's too many games.
That's enough.
The action never stops at BetMGM. You can sign up now using the bonus code SIMS. Your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000.
So say you bet $100 on a parlay of the Colts to win and Jonathan Taylor to rush for 100 yards and score a TD.
Both?
What a parlay there.
Yeah.
If you win, you'll get $310.
Wow.
But if you lose, you'll still get $100 worth of free bets.
That's crazy. That's the most math that I think Pete has done in that segment ever.
It's pretty good. Yep.
Well done. Well done, Pete. Simply download the BetMGM app today. Go to BetMGM.com and enter the bonus code SIMS to make your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. And with that,
we did it.
We did it. We're done.
Sorry. We ended up going a little longer than I thought. I mean, I mumbled probably a little too much early on in the podcast, but we got it done. And then we went on the Thanksgiving tirade, but hope everybody enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Glad to have you here.
Well, listen to it. You know, if you're out there, 1.5 speed. That's what I listen to my podcast.
Is that what people do?
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I'd be curious what the homies do. We should do a poll.
Right. I know Pete's like that, too. Pete's a 1.5 speed.
Pete, you're 1.5. You're what?
Yeah.
He's a 2X?
Wow.
Wow, I've tried 2X.
Man.
That's so fast.
Yeah, that's I don't know.
I feel like we talk fast, too, so I don't know if you can handle 2X on us, but let's know. Well, the homies will chime in.
All right, let us know.
Let us know.
Let us know.
We'll do a poll.
I hope they're not playing us on 1.5 speed. I hope they're enjoying and letting it just soak in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Spend your whole day with us.
All right. Wednesday, you know where we'll be here. Break it down. What the fuck happened Wednesday? Treasure hunters. Ahmed's going to be ready. He's digging for treasures everywhere, this guy. He's got his pick out and his hard hat, and he's doing it all.
Yep.
Keep the questions coming in. Anything specific about something that happened here in week 12 that you want me to look into a little bit? We'll check it out. We'll answer those questions directly, but we'll do our best to pick the best games, the most interesting narratives, and kind of break them down. We'll have them for Wednesday, and Ahmed always finds a different angle for me to study something new and bring that to the Wednesday podcast as well. Hope everybody's good. Enjoy Monday Night Football. Anything else you want to say on
the way
out?
Nope.
He's good. He's good. Ahmed's good. I'm good. Peace out, homies. We'll see you Wednesday. Clap it up.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.